Well, this is Frank again, and with interesting people I know, and I'm talking with Scott Swimmer of Drum Strong. And I had the opportunity to meet Scott a few years back, and I think it was Jacksonville, Florida. It doesn't really matter, but doing wonderful things with using drumming to make a difference and support his community and the world. So how's it going, Scott?
Really good, Frank. Thanks.
Yeah, tell the story. What is Drum Strong?
Well, interestingly enough, it's something that was born from a very unfortunate situation when our son was diagnosed with bone cancer in 2004. Mm-hmm. 12 years later, he's doing fine, thriving.
How does one get diagnosed with bone
cancer? Yeah, that's a fair question. In a way, you're lucky if you're diagnosed early, clearly. And Mason was luckily playing baseball and hurt himself in the process. The injury did not heal, and it was because it wasn't a baseball injury per se. It was a tumor in his right leg, which ultimately was diagnosed as osteosarcoma, bone cancer. And
sarcoma is kind of the major word for cancer, right?
That's sarcoma is a hard tumor cancer, typically.
Okay. As opposed to a soft tumor? I don't know.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Or a blood cancer that, you know, that is not necessarily perceivable, visually perceivable.
Okay.
But yeah, so the tumor was in his right leg, but just above his knee, and required immediate oncological response, and that was heavy chemo, full tilt. And
for a teenager,
a 15-year-old.
Yeah,
15-year-old. So yeah, which changed clearly the dynamics of our family. Certainly, his response from his friends in school and his ability to do certain things that he was used to doing, and you know, you adjust. We all adjust. You know, and you know, life does throw curveballs at us
routinely.
Yeah. So yeah, it was you know, a year of heavy dose chemo and surgeries and altered lifestyle.
So your son is playing baseball, has an injury, find out it is a sarcoma, something that's a visible cancer, and life changes. And how did that evolve to Drum Strong?
Funny you should ask.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, in the course of me as a parent doing what research I could do to understand the disease, understand the side effects of the drugs, understand the, as best one can, the dynamics of changes in the family and our life, you reach out to a lot of, I reached out to a lot of people.
Okay.
And in the course of reaching out, I got involved with the Lance Armstrong Foundation, pre-Livestrong, interestingly enough.
Okay.
And
pre-Livestrong?
Yeah, babe.
So this is related to...
It was the year before...
Yeah?
Well, just prior to the yellow wristbands.
Okay. So a little bit of... So it's in conjunction, if not a takeoff, with Armstrong. Yeah, tell the story with Armstrong.
I'm
going to
tell you where that comes from, because it is interesting. So the organization was really good about very personally responding to... Mm-hmm. my concerns and my request for information and research.
Was that Livestrong you said?
Pre-Livestrong.
Pre-Livestrong, okay.
Lance Armstrong Foundation.
Okay.
And we had had some experience with people in the community, particularly in the child life at the hospital where Mason was being treated, to come to the school and have conversations with the administration, with Mason's peers, students, to better understand and dispel some of the myths. I mean, there were kids who were not stupid kids that didn't necessarily understand that cancer is not contagious, for instance. You know, that's a scary thing for a strong, talented young man to all of a sudden be that debilitated.
So the Armstrong Foundation was...
They were writing programs
okay.
to assist people dealing with cancer on a lot of levels, including information that you could take to your school administration, for instance. And they would then be briefed on how to help students adjust as much as anything to a fellow student dealing with a debilitating disease.
And the Armstrong Foundation was supporting that and making to communicate yep. those things.
So yeah, okay. so back to I reached okay. out to them and in the process became close to, and ultimately 10, 12 months later, mm-hmm. find out that they have a program. It was early on when the Lance Armstrong Foundation was doing the Ride for the Roses, mm-hmm. which is a fundraiser for cancer support. And
not the Rose Parade. No. I mean, I don't know.
No, no. Ride for the Roses was a cycling event.
Okay. And aren't they out of Texas? Wasn't that like Austin
Texas,
or something?
Exactly right. Yeah, they were Lance apparently lived in Austin at the time, yeah. or he is Texan. And yes, they are their foundation is in Austin.
And actually, that foundation's still going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they're going strong, regardless of whatever Lance's,
issues with all that stuff, yeah. What was that, PEDs or whatever it was? Doping or
doping, whatever. And, and that was interesting.
Cycling economics, but yeah.
I have issues with that on multiple levels, which we'll talk about mm-hmm. if you're interested. But the interesting thing, they had a program set up where they would annually invite a guest survivor to come and ride with mm-hmm. Lance at the Ride for the Roses. And through conversations with the organization and through letters that were written on Mason's behalf, he was selected that year, 2006, so two years after diagnosis, to be the guest survivor to ride.
Mm-hmm. And where was he in his treatment at 2 years after?
He was done about maybe 10 months out of his last surgery. Mm-hmm. He had his knee rebuilt. He had his leg. Mason has an internal prosthesis. Mm-hmm. So didn't technically lose his leg, mm-hmm. but yes, we did have the conversation at the beginning of save life for limb possibilities, mm-hmm. clearly.
That's definitely intense.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's a hard conversation to have with your 50-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Or for anybody, for that matter. But yeah. Again, strong, athletic, mm-hmm. talented, mm-hmm. active.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, he got invited to ride with Lance for the Ride for the Roses for 2016. I'm sorry, 2006.
Okay.
And here I am thinking, after having many conversations with the surgeons and the physical therapist and on and on, wait a minute. He is lucky to have his leg. He's lucky to be alive, start with that, but he's lucky to have his leg. Getting on a frigging bicycle with a compromised, mm-hmm. leg, is this going to happen?
Right.
It did. So he and his younger brother, Toby, ended mm-hmm. up riding, 65 miles with Lance in the Ride for the Roses. During this, which was thrilling for his mother and I, and we're out there cheering along with mm-hmm. thousands of people, the riders, and celebrating survivorship, and the fact that we're participating in an event that's raising millions of dollars to mm-hmm. throw towards research and support survivorship. And I'm looking around in the course, and I'm seeing whatever percentage, 50% of the people that are cheering their riders on mm-hmm. couldn't get on a bicycle to save their life, Frank.
Okay.
Because of debilitating factors, mm-hmm. either them dealing with cancer, loss of limb, loss of organ, immune system, feel like crap, whatever it is, they're not going to get on a bicycle.
Right.
And it dawned on me at that moment that there are most, if not all, events that are participatory for those that can get on a bicycle, can do the walks or the runs or the golf tournaments, but you mm-hmm. might not be in a condition, physical condition, to be able to participate in an athletic event. And I'm thinking, well, that ain't fair. And it was the flight home with Mason and Toby flanking me on the flight, talking about, I'm thinking, I want to do something on a large scale to help boost, mm-hmm. awareness and survivorship and do my part, whatever. I'm a drummer. Both of my boys are drummers. We're thinking, well...
And what kind of drums have you always played?
I've always played hand percussion.
Okay, hand percussion. Was that way as a kid? Or did you get up into it as an adult?
How
did you get into hand drumming?
Mason was, I'll tell you, but Mason was his 13th birthday, we brought a kit into the house. Mm-hmm. So, no, I wasn't a kid playing a kit. Never had mm-hmm. a kit.
Okay.
Me, as a child, there was a lot of calypso in my house.
Well, who were some of the calypso people?
Oh,
you remember?
Yeah, yeah, very well. Mom and Dad had friends in Nassau and in the Bahamas, and Vince Martin mm-hmm. was the local Harry Belafonte.
Okay.
And I mean that sweet and velvety a voice. And, mm-hmm. you know, just man had extraordinary. He was also a keyboardist but and a vocalist. And he had a band. And so there were, and Mom and Dad would go down and visit occasionally, which was beautiful. And they would always bring back chocolate-covered coconut patties and albums from Vince's band.
Okay.
So I listened on the hi-fi.
Mm-hmm. The hi-fi stereo. Yes, yeah,
Calypso. And I... There was always
it's funny, most people don't even know what hi-fi means. High fidelity.
High fidelity.
Yeah, there, back in the day.
So I'm listening to albums. There's a bongo in the house and claves.
Mm-hmm.
So my first instruments were sticks and skins, but not necessarily together. So
got it.
You learn quick not to hit a bongo with
bongos
a clave.
With a stick, yeah.
So anyway, that was me. And so I was always banging on stuff, but never made a living doing it. Mm-hmm. I just love it. So, but back to it. On the flight, talking about what are we going to do to help raise awareness and preferably some funds to support. Well, sure, music, international language, but not necessarily you pay your $25 and go to a concert and be entertained, mm-hmm. you know, and raise money that way. No, because that's not participatory. That was the key. It wanted to be something that everybody could do.
Okay.
And so we're thinking, well, hell, everybody can bang on something, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was it. That was the birth of the idea.
So the birth of the idea is, let me see if I got this right. Your son in 2006, a couple years later, he's writing with Lance Armstrong 10 months after his last treatment or surgery. And you guys are on the flight back, you and your other son, and you're thinking, boy, after observing the crowd, most of the people in this crowd can't do it.
Nope.
So how can we raise some money to maybe help them do it?
Raise some money, but also feel like they're definitely participating in the process.
Okay.
Right? You know, and so a little bit of a challenge in that, how's that going to work and what does that look like? But that was October of 2006.
Okay.
Idea born. And that following spring, we had established Drums for Cures as a 501c3.
Okay.
And decided that we would call our events Drum Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Make the cancer connect, you know, because Live Strong at that point was mm-hmm. born.
Okay.
And
now, did you choose that name because of Lance?
Kind of, sort of, but also Drum Strong is strong. I mean, okay. Yeah, we're drumming.
So there's not necessarily a connection.
No, clearly, no, definitely not, except that we've raised a chunk of change for the Live Strong organization.
Okay. How do you mean? You mean did you Drum Strong stuff and split the proceeds?
Here's how it ultimately evolved.
Okay.
We have Drum Strong events globally, and I'll mm-hmm. tell you in a minute where that comes mm-hmm. from, which is pretty cool. And wherever there's a Drum Strong event, we encourage that locale to pick preferably a local organization to support.
Okay.
Many people in the process, as actually our first several years of Drum Strong, mm-hmm. benefited Live Strong. And when there's a Drum Strong Austin,
mm-hmm.
Drum Strong LA was throwing money at Live Strong as well. So in essence, you basically, wherever you're doing an event, drumming to beat cancer,
mm-hmm.
you're basically telling us where you want those efforts financially, the fundraising efforts to go. And so, yeah, we set it up. I'm telling you, you know, I drummed for a long time. There's always drums in my house. Kids grew up with mm-hmm. them. But I didn't know anything about facilitated rhythm
mm-hmm.
events. It wasn't part of my life until I decided that we were going to drum for no less than 24 hours.
Okay.
Nonstop, by the way. The challenge was that the mm-hmm. event, the rhythm was going to continue. The challenge of, you know, more than a couple of hours of drumming. And
it's making me think of the old dance marathons. You're going to have
a
drum marathon, right? And raise some funds. Okay.
And why not do drum and dance, by the
mm-hmm.
way?
You know? Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. And so I had a conversation, interestingly enough, with a very, very talented young man, Vinks, who is a vocalist and percussionist.
Okay.
Who, in the course of conversation, says, well, man, you know, drum circles are going to crash and burn. There's going to be the train wreck. They're not going to continue nonstop by themselves. You need a facilitator. Huh? No idea.
Okay.
And I said, huh? And he said, Arthur Hull. Call Arthur. I called Arthur. And Arthur was intrigued, number one, by he's very good about tithing. He really he believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
So he liked the idea that it was a charity event. He also liked the idea of the challenge of drumming nonstop for at least 24 hours and being a part of that. And And oh, by the way, maybe the longest continuous rhythm event ever held.
Okay.
So we registered with the Guinness World Records, and Arthur
did
shows
you make
up.
It?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
25 hours nonstop, mm-hmm. first time out of the shoot.
I mean, in the Guinness book.
You know, they don't put it in the book unless you pay a lot of money to have them come out and
validate it,
yep,
verify it.
What do they call it? They have a word for it, and it was something to the tune of $8,000.
Okay.
And I'm going,
let that go.
I'd rather the money be put to, you know,
yeah,
charity. So, but Arthur did come out. God bless him. And Greg Witt, who's a Raleigh facilitator, mm-hmm. local, who I didn't know at the time, mm-hmm. also came out blind. Didn't know me. Didn't know if this was going to be. Mm-hmm. And we put on a really nice event. We set it up where we had a full stage because I felt like the circle might need some accompaniment or mm-hmm. vice versa. So there was local music on stage. We did a very important aspect of DrumStrong events are displaying cancer health and integrative health resources.
Okay.
So the Health Resource Expo was right off out of the chute also. It was a very important aspect where people can get a sense of what local resources are available to help you through not just a cancer experience, but health experiences.
So in addition, it's like, hey, let's, in addition to doing the event, let's make sure that we can have an education component
yep.
that goes with this.
Yep.
So Arthur
you
comes
have questions?
Out.
Questions? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Arthur comes out. He's Arthur being, you know, leading drum circle facilitator in the U.S. and
I
you
had
guys
no
have
idea.
A great event.
I had no idea.
You scored big.
Yeah.
So how'd the event go down?
You well, interestingly enough, you know, along those lines, talking about scoring big, what happened at 4:00 in the morning? And oh, by the way, outside event. Yes, it rained and the wind picked up and blew tents all. You know, it was blowing us away, but we did it. We persisted and we drummed in the middle of the circle at 4:00 a.m. Arthur whips out his laptop, opens up, and hits the list. At that point, maybe 2,200 professional mm-hmm. facilitators around the world. He hit the list. Here's what we're doing. Oh, by the way, we webcast mm-hmm. the first event. Me thinking how much fun it would be for kids in local hospitals. I really didn't think worldwide so much as kids around seeing these fools drumming all night long,
yeah.
you know, on their behalf. They could join in if they felt like it. If nothing else, be entertained, but understand and appreciate that there was this fortification going on their behalf. So Arthur whips out the laptop. He tells the list that we're webcasting, check it out. You're streaming live.
Okay.
And I mean, within minutes, we got hits from all over the world. Tokyo, Kuala Lumpur, London, love what you're doing. We're drumming with you. Absolutely.
So you had good success. How did you turn it over for a year or two?
Well, it was mind-blowing. And in truth, it was that kind of eye-opening. The concept that it could be, that easily, could mm-hmm. be global. We encouraged. I got Arthur's list. I joined the list. I'm a believer. I'm a facilitator. Mm-hmm. And you know, went to that list, which has grown to 5,000 or 6,000 mm-hmm. now, and encouraged DrumStrong events. Look, you've got a regular rhythm gig in your community. Mm-hmm. Once a year, once a month, make it a DrumStrong event. Encourage.
So what is a DrumStrong event?
We encourage people, facilitators, to engage their community for a DrumStrong event that will benefit the community, be it a very specific local chapter of a national organization like an American Cancer Society or mm-hmm. Susan G. or, you know, on a national scale, like as a Livestrong, or, again, a local camp or clinic or a family that needs help. So
if a facilitator's in a different city and wants to do a DrumStrong event, it would be, hey, let's put it on. Decide who the benefactor is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's simple. And and invite that community and invite the clinic, the facility mm-hmm. to attend. Bring patients. Bring families. Bring yep. staff. And also bring your resource. Bring information about whatever it is, and it might be a specific cancer.
So just like the original event, it's an educational piece and it's yep. an opportunity for community. How long? And so how many events have you had over the years?
I can't count them, Frank.
Yeah, more than five?
five, mm-hmm. less than 5,000.
Okay.
But not that many less. You know, it has become a true global event, mm-hmm. and at the main event, we still webcast and stream. Mm-hmm. So it gives a very, very interesting opportunity for facilitators, well, for everybody that's participating, but for facilitators to facilitate to the camera, knowing that as many as 5, 6, 10 cities around the world mm-hmm. are participating in a DrumStrong event.
Right.
And you, oh, by the way, are being seen in Kuala Lumpur, and you as a facilitator mm-hmm. can quiet or change the tempo in a drum circle around the world. It's amazing. Arthur did it. Arthur and Greg did it 1 year, and it was, you know, it was a life-changing moment for a facilitator to know that you have, oh, wait, this really works. This works on a true global scale.
Well, how do you see it going forward with DrumStrong? What are the next steps?
I really encourage the global aspect, and that means as much, you know, domestic as it does international. And encourage, you asked the question about mm-hmm. you know, facilitators, and I mentioned that you might have a regular gig. At least make it at some point make it a charitable event. You know, engage the community.
So you see. DrumStrong as an opportunity. It's a gifting opportunity to have under the umbrella of DrumStrong, and hey, let's DrumStrong.
Yeah.
And create opportunities to support your local community.
There's 70 cities mm-hmm. in 25 countries mm-hmm. right now holding DrumStrong events.
So 70 cities, 25 countries. And do they all do it simultaneously, or is that just
we encourage the third month in May? Mm-hmm. Sorry, the third weekend in May is our main event where we drum for stupid long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And sure, pick an hour, 2 hours during the course of, and join us.
Okay.
And it's easy to webcast. I mean, these days you can just
webcast is just point and click now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can see each other, play with each other. Mm-hmm. You know.
What's been the big joy for you in working with DrumStrong over the year? A couple of big takeaways. Hmm. Obviously, the joy of having your son recovered and serve as an inspirational moment, you know, to put this together. But what are some of the things that, some other things that
it's have happened? So emotional, Frank. You know, there's the opportunity for people to, with the simplicity and the beauty of sharing your pulse, your rhythm. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that you need to have in any way, shape, or form a background in drumming. It's the primal, mm-hmm. you know, sharing your heartbeat. And of course, in a facilitated event, that's encouraged and make, you know, it's easy to just, you're drawn to the rhythm, you're pulled in. And when you're drumming at a DrumStrong event, it's a focused intention. Mm-hmm. You are drumming in honor of, in memory of somebody, mm-hmm. for your own fortification. If you need it, it's there. It's
okay.
The support, the true caring is palpable. So it's, yes, fun, and sure, you know, loud and raucous as it wants to be.
Well, how many people, when we talk about it in a given city, how many people are out drumming at one time? Is it like 10 people or 1,000 people in a city? Yeah, like when you say Kuala Lumpur, they're drumming, is it like 50, 60? Or?
It's a fair question, and it really does vary.
Okay.
Our main event, we have...
Yeah, at the main event, when you're doing
We have, I mean... I would say an average of 2,000 to 3,000 people in between come to the event because it's mm-hmm. a festival. I mean, it has developed into we have name.
So here in town,
here in Charlotte, name acts on stage, mm-hmm. big name acts, mm-hmm. and the drum circle and the health expo and vendors with food and art mm-hmm. and kids zone and you know lots. It's a great festival with and the drum circle that doesn't quit. For like I said, we've drummed for as many as 30 hours mm-hmm. nonstop. We're back to 24 hours, sometimes even 12, depends on the venue. L.A. does a beautiful event every year through the Remo Recreational Music Center. Mm-hmm. And they can have as many as a couple 300 people at a time. Okay. They also invite a lot of big names to come play with them because they're in the neighborhood. Kuala Lumpur, to answer your question, has been active since the second DrumStrong, so we're 10 years old now, and they have several hundred people show up, and we're on their big screen, and they're on our monitors, so we get to see them play with each other. That's literally halfway around the world. Mm-hmm. Japan holds as many as 10 Drum Strong events, again, simultaneous, same weekend as us, and then some during the course of the year. And I encourage that, too. It doesn't have to be. I mean, it's great if you can do that. If you can join us for the main event, great. But otherwise, again, we're happy that it's happening on any level at any time of the year. And they raise hundreds of thousands of yen, which is, what, $18? But still, it is money, and it's real, and it's supporting the cause.
So from an idea of having a son, or the despair of having a son be diagnosed with cancer after a athletic event is diagnosed and find the sarcoma, which is a visible cancer, you get cured, you go on a race with Lance Armstrong, or he does, 10 months after his last surgery. You guys are coming back and say, you know what? Let's see what else we can do to help this cause. And it's now turned into a global event 10 years later.
It's working.
Congratulations.
Love it.
This has been Frank and
Scott
talking a little bit about
Drum Strong.
Stay strong.